Okay, go ahead.
All right, good evening, everyone. I am so sorry to be late, and I just want us to take a moment to pray and give God thanks for the day that we have had. Whether it's good or bad, it's neither here nor there. The fact that we're still alive and we're able to speak, I would like us to give thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Is that something we can all do?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'll ask everybody to take 30 seconds for themselves, and then I'll pray to start. Mighty Father, we want to thank you for your many blessings. We want to thank you for your watch here. We want to thank you that you have kept us through the day. You have kept us through our activities, whatever that was. And you have brought us into another evening or night. And we just want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for your angels that watch over us, that protected us from harm and danger. And Lord, as we just talk about you just now for a few minutes, we pray that you'll come divinely close. We pray that your angels will attend and your Holy Spirit will also be with each of us. Help us, Lord, to turn our minds heavenward and just look to you for the answers, for the comfort, for the peace of mind, and for everything else that we seek. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Because I'm on the road, I would like to ask if I could have a reader, because I'm not at a stable location. So I'd like to have a reader.
Yes.
Anybody willing to volunteer?
Yes, I'll do it.
All right. I would like you to then turn your Bibles, every one of us, turn your Bibles to Philippians 4 and verse 5. And could the reader read that for me?
Philippians 4, verse 5.
Yeah.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here ends the reading.
All right. No, I chose to look at this because we're always saying, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But also our activities, our lifestyle, has to start saying to the rest of the world that we are happy to have you as our friend, but Jesus is coming, so we have to do something. And worse if they are not yet a member of the church or of faith. Let's not even say the church, but a member of faith. Because a lot of time, what we find happening is that people say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but what are we doing with that? How are we letting people know that Christ is coming? And I want to say, we're not saying go there and just shout and do things willy-nilly. We're saying be organized, be conscientious about what you do, but also be, what do you call it now, intentional. That's the word I'm looking for. Be intentional. Don't just go and if somebody asks it, then you tell them. If you see the opportunity to share it, share it. Do we understand where I'm at with that?
Yes.
Because a lot of time people wait and they say, oh, well, nobody didn't ask me. I didn't see any opportunity. But opportunity comes always, every day and every time. But sometimes we are looking for it to come when somebody's going to come up to you and say, Howard, are you a Christian? But I don't live to show them that I am. I don't speak to show them that I am. I don't do the things to show them that I am. And even when I have the opportunity to say I am, I don't say.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm coming from.
And yeah.
Because of that, people don't know what we stand for or principles we put under the carpet because we don't want to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to feel uncomfortable. But I want to ask you, when Jesus was here on earth for his 3 years of full ministry, did he put his Christianity or his faith under some bushel and hide it? He didn't.
No.
Everybody knew he was a Christian. The Romans knew it, the Jews knew it, the Sanhedrin knew it, those who never, the Samaritan knew it, those who weren't Christians, they knew it. Everybody knew that he was a Christian. But he did not go around putting down people, looking down on people because they weren't. And this is what I want us to realize. And I'm going to ask the reader again to read that text again and listen to it as we go along.
Let your moderation
Listen to the word. Hold on, we're doing a bit by bit now. Let your moderation. What does that mean? What do you think that means as a people? Let your moderation. What does that mean to you? Anybody? Just one person.
Gentleness.
Yes. You mustn't just, you must let people know what you stand for. But in moderation, you're not going to Bible bash or beat somebody over the head every time they say, oh, well, I don't believe in God. Or I don't believe in church. Or I am, you know, of a different persuasion from you in terms of your religious order. But you're going to not hide it neither. You're not going to put it away just to please someone, just to let somebody feel comfortable. Because that's not letting your moderation be made known. All right, go ahead.
Let your moderation be known unto all men.
Yes.
The Lord is at hand.
Well, now let your moderation be known unto some men. It didn't say that, you know. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And the reason for that is that God is here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? Yes. God is not coming, you know. He's here already. And it's just for him to burst the sky and say, all right, this is done. But he's showing us, in everything that is happening around us today, he's showing us that he's here. He's showing us that time has come to its end. But out of his love and his mercy, what has he done? One person. He kept back his hand. He hasn't come yet. He hasn't just said, okay, you know something, let me finish with these people. They're noble people. He's still saying, I'm going to be merciful because that one person over there is still altering, and I know the choice they're going to make.
Howard?
Yes?
There's a Bible verse that says, God is not slack concerning his promises, and that he doesn't wish anyone to perish, but he's long
to come to.
And that he wants all of us to repent and come to a relationship with him.
Yeah. I can't hear it clearly, but I know, who is that? Who was speaking just now?
Sonia.
Sonia, okay, you sound so far away. But that is true, Sonia, and that is why I'm saying he's still extending his mercy.
Yeah.
He's still being merciful because he wants everybody to have the full opportunity and even more than the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that? Sometimes the opportunity you give me, you say, okay, I'm going to give Howard the one chance to cook for me. But if he doesn't taste nice, I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. But God says, I'll give you 16 chances to cook for me. And it still didn't taste too well, but I'm going to still give you another chance. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
He opens the door. He uses his love that we all should have the opportunity. That's why when the time comes to its end, nobody can say they didn't have umpteen. I don't know if there's such a word. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have myriads of chances and opportunity to make it right. Nobody can say it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I want my reader again to turn. Again, we're going to move now a little bit further. We're going to go to Genesis. The text that says, and God created man in his own image. I think it's Genesis.
Genesis 1:26.
1:26. Yes, that's in yes.
Genesis 1:26.
Yes.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
Yeah. All right. God made man, and God put man at the bottom. Is that so?
No.
God didn't put man at the bottom. No. And God gave man a responsibility. Look at it. You could say all the other things were created before us. You realize that? Do we all realize that?
Yes.
That everything else was created before us.
Yes. At
the end of it, in his creation, before he gets to his Sabbath rest, which is important to him and to us, at end of his creation, he said, "Now, let us make man." And we're not just going to make man any fashion and anyhow. Let us make man in our own image.
So,
we're not going to only stop with the image. We're going to make him in our likeness. He's going to look like me too. So the image is a characteristic that is created in us. The one to worship, the one to love, the one to hear, the one to do all of that. That's the image of God. The one to be honest, all of that is part of the image of God. But he says also in our own likeness, so they will look like me. They will look like us. And then he says, we're not going to make man just be a wandering right. No sense of purpose. Let's give him dominion over. Let's give him control over all of these creeping things, all of these things. And I believe if man had stayed true to the course, lion wouldn't eat us. Snake couldn't bother us.
Mm-hmm.
Whales in the sea would not affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpion wouldn't sting us. I believe all of this because we did not stay true to the course. Or it would have had dominion. Now, you put me on a lion out there. Lion going to try and eat me. And me, I'm going to try and run away. You know why I'm going to try and run away? Because I know I can't beat him to it. Unless I have a weapon. I can't beat him to it. Because he's stronger, more ferocious, and more aggressive. The idea is behind this. When God created us, that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be me going to the lion. I'm petting him and say, come, let me plant some food and he will eat in grass. But now he wants to eat me. Because man chose not to look at exhibiting. And even though we don't exhibit God the way we should. We want to put everything else. We put our car, we put our telly, we put everything. But you know the good thing that I want us to end with when we come to the closure of this evening? Is that with all of what we have done, you still love us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
What a love.
Mm-hmm.
What a love that is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you know, all of what we have done, all of the things we have said about him, all of the things we have gone up against him with, all of the behaviors that we have adopted, God says, I'm going to send my son to collect those people. Those people who did not even pay me any money. Those people who were going to crucify me, I'm still sending my son for them. You think he didn't know that those people were going to crucify him? Come talk to me, church.
Yes.
He knew they were going to crucify him. But he still came for them.
Yes.
And if they had changed their mind, he would have still saved them. Judas could have changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Judas would have still been saved. Nobody said it had to be Judas.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somebody else, he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can see the future. He saw what the mind of that man would have been. Today, we are not saying, okay, we can't be saved. Every single person, no matter how wicked or cruel or devious or dangerous or lie or whatever the negativity of bad behavior is, that person still can be saved. Because if he or she changes their mindset and accept Jesus as their personal savior from sin with all of the myriads of things they do behind them, he's going to wipe them away as if they never did it. And he's going to save that person.
Howard?
Yeah?
Yes. So I can't remember where the scripture is, but he talked about the fact that we are predestined for salvation. That's the only predestination. Everybody is open. It's available to everybody. Salvation is available to everybody. And it's for us to accept it so that we can be with him. And, you know, you started off by talking about being intentional. God was quite intentional in putting us together, in preparing a place for us, in giving us dominion, but also he is quite intentional in saving us.
Okay. And this evening, the topic is be intentional for Christ. That's why I started out the way I started out. That's why I said, let our witness be made known to every man. We must make people understand and know that despite whatever you think, I am a child of God. And I am, by the grace of God, I'm going to make it to that kingdom. It's not my grace, but the grace of God. I will not make it on my own, but with Christ, I will make it.
Amen.
Among the people at our workplace, among the people we meet on the bus, even with the government, who sometimes seems like they don't listen. But we have to be intentional as a church, as a community, as an individual person, to live up to that standard that will show somebody that there's a better way. And even in a time like now where people are worried about whatever this is, we must be the happy people. Not happy in the sense of walking around smiling like we lose our mind. But we must know that despite if you even drop on your knee and if you even drag the girl on the ground, there is going to become that time when God is going to put his appearance. We might all not get away from the rough and tumble in this world, but we will get away from the rough and tumble when we serve the Lord in the world to come. There will be no rough and tumble there. There will be love, endless love, endless love. And you know, there's a person who sings this song about endless love. It's a nominal song, not it's not a Christian song. But I don't think he knew really what he was singing about. Because endless love can only come from Jesus Christ. Endless love can only come from the Godhead. Endless love can only come from people who have given themselves and is transformed by Jesus Christ. And guess what happened? I said it last week, and I think I said it on Sabbath morning. It can happen here before we get over there.
Yeah.
We understand where I'm coming from with that.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God, living close to God can happen here before we get over there, and should start happening here before we get over there.
Yes.
Do we all agree?
Yes.
Because we're not going to go over there and then change over there, no. The change has to take place here.
Yeah.
The change has to take place here. And the way for the change to take place is not to dress up and change your clothes and look nice. It's in your mind. That change has to take place in your mind. So let us be intentional about serving the Lord. Let us be intentional about serving the Lord. The topic is be intentional with Christ. Be intentional with Christ. We have to be intentional to claim Christ and to claim his promises and to also let others know that we know him. Now, I don't say go and show off on people and go and behave like, oh, because you're Christian, nothing can, the world is going to run away from you. It's not going to. It's not going to attack you more. But what we need to do is in those attacks, in those difficult moments, in that time when you don't know, if you have to take the train like me this morning, you will eventually realize that God will step in the gap, because that's what he does. That's how he looks after you. And if you have to walk, walk. But still go where you're going. You have to see that one person, I mean, you have to go like a walking walk. Because that walking is exercise. It's good for you. And I don't know how many people, it's not a joke, it's good for you. And God said we must exercise. And sometimes that is what we have to do. Run out of some money so we can walk. Anybody ever see that happen here? Hello? Somebody not talking to me this evening. Has it ever happened where you run out of something, but then when you start maybe going for it, walking to get it, or sitting down and praying about it, you end up encouraging somebody else? You end up being a source of witness to somebody else? You end up making somebody who feel worse than you. Wait, hey, if you can do it, why can't I? And then you say, you know, I don't really mean, and the big man, our Jesus. I sometimes say the big man, and people, and I like say that. You know why people ask me who is the big man? It's the easiest time to tell them who is the big man. Because up to today, I did it on the train. I was on the train and somebody was saying to me, oh, they are coming with all of this corona. I said, I'll leave it to the big man. And his first question was, who is the big man? I said, God. He said, God, what do you mean by that? I said, okay, we can say what we want to say. But let me ask you a question. Do you know what time the breeze start blowing this morning before you get up out of bed? No. I said, do you know what time it's going to stop blowing this evening? No. He said, but you know the big man knows. God knows. He's the only one that can tell you. And the man sit down and just sit down and I look like it's the first time hearing something like this. But you know something? I give God thanks. Because I could have shown, and normally I would have just not talked to them. Because on the train, I don't talk to people for a purpose these days. But that was what God wanted. That was what was open to me today. And I thank him for it, that he did not allow me just to ignore the man. But he allowed me to have a conversation. And it ended up quite well, because we were both going to Stockwell, came off and he says, so which church you go to, sir? I said, oh, I go to Stoke, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Where is that? I said, he said, oh, I live over that side, you know. I tell him where the church is. I tell him when it's reopened. And give me a number, so I will be calling him. And we will be talking. But you know something? We have to be intentional. I thought today that once he asked me about this big man, I'm going to explain to him who God was. Because that's the avenue. This is my opinion. I don't know. He never said it. But I think he was thinking, big man, who is that? Like somebody like human being. So I had to get him to realize that, no, this big man is better than human being, more powerful than human being, and no human being can stop him. But he does all of this. I said, he protects and he takes and he gives. Because he was saying to me, then why people die? I said, because sometimes, because what we have done, we have sold out our rights. So I explained to him, it's like he had a property given to him by his father, will to him. And then he wanted a pound of sugar. So he gave away the property for the pound of sugar. But his dad came back and realized that that's what he did and brought him back the property and give it back to him. And he said, I never look at life like that. I said, yeah, that's how it is. And we came off the train. But you know something? I believe that if we start being intentional, God is going to put people every day during this period and even after this period in our path for us to tell them about him. I believe that. And that's why I'm saying Let us be intentional with Christ this evening. And as we go on into our bed this evening, spend a few minutes, spend a half an hour just thinking about how can I be intentional with Christ? Not just with him being in my life, but with him, with telling people about him. How can I be intentional to share him with other people? And how can I be intentional in having a relationship with him? So it's a two-fold kind of coin. You never see a coin with one side, eh? Anybody? Hello?
No.
Have you ever seen a coin with only one side? It has two sides.
No.
And this coin, I was watching something, I think it was something about Jesus and the crucifixion. And the Roman Empire took up a coin to make a top. But on the coin, both of it was head. So he said to the man, if it's head, then you're going to lose. And then when he said head, and then he said the other man to choose, and the other man said, I choose head then, because he said, if it's head, you win. And the other man won because the coin only had two sides. The one chose tail and he lost because there was no tail on it. It was two heads. And I'm just saying a coin has two sides. One of this religious or Christian coin is to be intentional with God. So you want him to see, you want to share him, you want to get to know him, you want to have a relationship with him. That's the intentional side A, let's call it that. And side B is to be intentional in Christ. So you're going to be sharing others, you're going to share him with others. So you're being intentional on both sides and there's no losing side because the two of them is two ends.
Yeah.
You understand me? Two sides of the coin is the same thing. Being intentional with Christ is getting to know him. And being intentional with sharing Christ is letting others get to know him. You see how it is? Simply put.
Yes.
You're being intentional with Christ is you getting to know him. And also being intentional with Christ is also you sharing him with others. If you go to you realize that, like, I don't know what we like. Me like dumpling and me like ackee and salt. So let's go down that road. I go out and I realize I can buy, using a pound, I can buy five dumplings and a nice bowl of ackee and salt fish. Well cooked, well done, proper. You like ackee and salt fish, but me not tell you. Me make you go and go spend your £1 and get two tablespoons of ackee and salt fish and half a dumpling. Am I being a good friend? Hello?
Yes.
Nobody get that. I am saying I can get five dumplings. Let's say we all like dumplings. I know most of us here on this might not like dumplings. But say we all like dumplings. So I can get five dumplings and a nice big bowl of full tin of ackee and saltfish then, call it that, for the £1. But you love ackee and saltfish and you like dumplings. But you are paying for the £1, you're getting half of a dumpling and two tablespoons of ackee and saltfish. But I know where you could get the five dumplings and a full tin of ackee and saltfish for your £1. I'm going to tell you. Am I your good friend?
No.
Because I'm not, I should be glad to say, hey, you see that half we are, but we can make you get five. Hello, we can allow you to come, we can go show you where you can get five proper cooked, well fixed up ackee and saltfish and dumpling. A tin of ackee and saltfish and instead of spend £1 to buy half of a dumpling, you spend £1 and get a five dumpling plus a full tin of ackee and saltfish. I'm just saying that because we as Christians, that's what we need to start doing. We need to start finding the joy in Christ so we will want to share him. We need to start finding the good thing in Christ so we want to share him. And we want to also keep him. I don't know if you can see how that works. Keeping him is you constantly reaching out, constantly praying, constantly reading his word, constantly letting him take control of what is happening in your life. But at the same time, you see me coming, you say, hey, you know who? You need to talk to Jesus. Yeah, you need to talk to him. He's waiting for you to talk to him. Oh boy, now I'm struggling. Oh, just let us pray about this, man. Let's go to God first. And then we look at what we can do physically here. So let's go and ask God. And then after we ask God, I still have to say, let me see how much we can put towards where you need to be done. You get what I'm saying? So I'm not only telling you to pray, but I'm saying, after we pray, let's put God first. Then if I can only give you 50 pence, I give you 50 pence. And if I can share this with somebody else and I give you another 50 pence, you'll get that until you get your target amount. I'm just using money because it's easier to calculate. But I'm just saying, we need to be intentional. And this evening, as we close, let us all turn our minds to be intentional with Christ. And to be intentional with Christ, five things have to happen. One, we have to seek him. Two, we have to listen to him. When he speaks, we have to be listening to him. Three, we have to be willing to make the change. Because sometimes I'm telling you things, and I think we're over here, so we're not doing anything about it. No, we have to be willing to make the change. And I know there might be some of you on this platform who are not yet married, but there is a situation where you get married and you realize that some things you might not like. But you're not going to kill yourself, you make the change, don't you? You make the change for your life and your relationship to work. You don't go with it, this is it, this is the order, this is the order, and this is the order. And if you don't work along this, then me and you can't. That's not going to go anywhere. 2 weeks time, you're going to be out on your head. The relationship is going to mash up. But if you're willing to compromise and to say, listen, God, you asked me to make the change. Really and truly hard. But you know something? I'm going to pray every day for you to make me an overcomer over this incident, this behavior. And when you get me an overcomer, I want to stay an overcomer. You think God is going to make him go back to him void? His word will never go back to him void. So if you pray and ask him to make you an overcomer and sincerely mean it and hope yourself for him to use you, he's going to change you. He's going to make that change. And you're going to see it. You want him overnight, but you're going to see it. And when it happens, you're not going to find any joy to go back to let's call it the evil, for want of a better word, or the wrong thing you were doing, because there will be no joy in it. That's what happens when you become an overcomer, you know? When Jesus takes control and you allow him to fully transform you, you don't enjoy the things that you used to enjoy. That was evil. Put it that way. And evil is only a word because I can't find a different word for it at the moment. But the things that are negative are unlike Christ. You're not going to enjoy those things because you have been changed and you are still being changed. And as long as you allow him to take control and to go forward with you, everything is going to become good.
Amen.
In his own time. And whatever don't become good in your opinion, something is going to leave there for your challenges. I'm not going to take away everything and make life so smooth that you wonder if there's anything else to live for life. For life has to have its difficulty because we and our foreparents already give Satan control. And when Satan was up and down, him thought he was good enough. He said, he went up to God and said, Jesus asked him, where you coming from? He said, I'm going to and fro the earth. You understand? So we gave him control that time. And so he's still in control now because it has to play itself right out to the end. Any of you ever have a niece or any of you have your own children and see them or something? And them think them smarter than you as the adults who have gone through it. And they're just doing, and you watch them, and you just make them go on and go on and go on. Because why are you allowing them to continue? Because you know what the end result is going to be. And when the end result is going to be, you say, but I told you, but you didn't want to listen. So now you see what the end result is going to be. And at that time, they have learned their lesson. They have had their own experience, and then they can come. When you bring someone to Christ intentionally, that person is going to meet Christ for themselves and have their own experience. And after that, they're going to be joining you in sharing and spreading the joy of being intentional with Christ. So as we come to a close, let us remember that this evening, we are asked, and this is just from me being used as a mouthpiece. I'm not the one telling you to do it. I'm just saying that we are all asked to be intentional. And to be intentional with Christ.
Amen.
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 So what we're going to ask us to do now is to ask that we have two prayers. One of the prayers, I would just like it to ask the Lord to make all of his children, as much of us as we can, even those who wasn't able to join us this evening, to be intentional with him. And then the next one will be that we pray for those who are enjoying life at its fullest and its best, those who are having struggles, those who are having physical difficulties, those who are having financial difficulties, and those who are just confused, not sure what to do with the time we are living in at the moment, and not sure how to go forward, that God will give them direction. God will bring them into a place where they can know how to live for him and with him and through this time. So can we do that, please? All right. Should I choose someone to pray? Or should we do this voluntarily?
Let us pray. Let us pray.
Yes, amen.
Our God and our Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you for the words that we were commissioned to hear. We ask you to help us to recognize that we have a purpose and that purpose is for us to be intentional with our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to look into ourselves and to make the necessary changes so that we will not just be here existing, but we will be living with a purpose. And the purpose is to make sure that we are connected to you, so that we can connect others to you. Father, we ask that you'll be with those whose lives are ones of struggle. We ask you to be very near to them. Allow them to feel your presence so that they can lean on you and draw sustenance and power from you and know that there is a hope. You are the hope. Lord, I ask that you'll be with those who are enjoying their lives as we ought to, regardless of whatever we are going through. Help us to be grateful that we are alive, because we can give you glory, we can give you thanks, and we can share you with others. Lord, we ask that you'll be with those who are unwell. It may be just the normal aches and pains of life, of age, but we ask you to give us relief. There are many who are in the hospital, many who are unwell at home, many who are sick, struck down by COVID, by cancer, by some disease. And we present them all to you, Lord. As our creator, you know our bodies better than anybody. You designed our bodies, and you have designed our bodies to be able to heal itself. We ask the dear Lord to give us the healing that we need, physically and spiritually. Those who are having operations, we ask that you'll be with the doctors and the medical team so that they will do their very best, but that they'll place themselves in your hands so that they will be the instrument and miracles will be wrought. We ask that you'll be with those who are recovering from surgery and those who are recovering from illness. Lord, renew their strength and revive them. And may they be able to give a testimony of your goodness to them. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us to the middle of the week, the final week in the month of November. We ask you, dear Lord, to continue to grant us life. We thank you for the opportunities that have been presented in our lives for us to reach out to others. And help us to remember, dear Lord, that what may look as a problem is just an opportunity waiting to be resolved. So Lord, we come to you this evening. We thank you for Howard's presentation, and we ask that you'll cover him as he travels on the road. May he have journey in mercy's home. Lord, I ask that you'll be with those of us who are here, the homes that are represented. Bind the homes together with cords that cannot be broken. Draw us closer to one another in our physical homes, but also as a church family, dear Lord. Help us to remember that heaven is our goal. We are brothers and sisters, and we need to look out for one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to be intentional in our love and our relationship with one another. Father, I just ask that the requests that were presented, that the guidance of the prayers, that they will be covered. May we all be blessed from having your words, but may we not just hear them and keep them. Give us that motivation and that desire to act upon them, so that we'll be both doers of the word and hearers, not just hearers. Father, we present ourselves to you, and we ask that you forgive us wherein we have fallen short, and help us to turn away from the things that pull us away from you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My beloved Savior, my living God, my righteousness, my Lord of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I give you thanks, I give you praise. Let my nation, my Lord, your gentleness be known unto all men. For you, my Lord, you're at hand. You are not slack with your promises. And we live in faith and we live in hope, so we know that you are at hand. In 6 days, my Lord, you created mankind in your image unto the salvation of us all. I pray, my Lord, that we are intentional as you made us to be. For you created us intentionally and in saving us intentionally. Being intentional with Christ, getting to know him. Being intentional with others to bring others to my Lord intentionally to ensure that we all know about him and that we all be doers of his word and not just hearers. We seek him and we listen to him. And we are willing to make the change, the transformation, to intentionally do his will and bring others to him. So I pray, my Lord, that we are moderate and that we cling to your promises because you are not slack in your promises. Through thy grace, my Lord, I pray, with the forgiveness of sins. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Unmute yourself, Howard.
Amen. Amen.